when God made the creation, everything was good. Remember that? It was, everything was good. He was happy with everything. All through chapter one, it was good, it was good, it was good. But then when he got to chapter two, he found something that was not good. In chapter 2:18, it said it was not good that man be alone. It's not good that man be alone. And so he made him a helpmeet. And so, last week we got in, I told you there was a statement I made to you. And this is an important statement. There is no union on earth as close as husband and wife. There is no union on earth as close as husband and wife. And that's the greatest union there is on earth. The marriage, the Bible says marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. And there's no union closer than marriage and than husband and wife. Then I gave you two key words. And for the younger people, leave and cleave. We talked about, notice what it says, when you get married, a man will leave his father and mother. Remember that? Leave. Get out of the house. Get away from your parents and get on your own. That doesn't mean you stop loving your mom and dad, but now you are one. You're not married to your mom. You're not married to your dad. You're married to your spouse. And you two become one. And so you have to get out. And I showed you how Abraham, remember we showed you how God didn't bless Abraham till he got away from his dad, till he got away from his, how many, remember that? And then, the second, couple we talked to you about was, leave and cleave, and cleave unto your wife. Don't cleave to your parents. Don't cleave to your children. Don't let your parents come in between you and your spouse. Don't let your children come in between you. We worked on that a little bit, and we noticed that, I tried to give you some, there was a biblical principle, page three, there's a biblical principle. When a man gets married, they're to move out from the parents' control. Let your adults, don't try to run your kids' marriage. Let your kids run their own marriage. Don't poke your nose in their business. I'm so glad Rosie's mom and dad, although they were caring and watched, they never poked their nose in our business. And my dad died when I was only 23. I had only been married just a few years. And, of course, my mama never did nothing. But a lot of times marriages break up because parents poke their nose in their kids' business. Let them alone. You younger people, when you get in a spat, argument, don't go home and tell your mom, "Oh, mom, he's horrible. You can't believe what he said. You can't believe what he did." Because before that night's out, you might be hugging and smooching, but your mom and dad's going to remember what you told them. And even though it's out of your mind, and you're hubby, they're not lovey-dovey-dovey at all. Because every time they see that person, they remember what you told them. And what you've done, you've caused a wedge. And you've caused a division. And what happens, that division festers and it works on your marriage, and you got a tugging of allegiance. Can I tell you something? Your allegiance after you get married is not to your children. Your allegiance is not to your family. Your allegiance is to your wife, your husband. Boy, I wish I could get that across to people. No one's more important to me outside of Christ now. I'm talking about Rosie. If I had to choose between Rosie and my children, I'm going to take Rosie. I had to choose between Rosie and my parents, I'm going to take Rosie. And if you choose someone outside of your spouse, you're not right with God. No, if Roger had to make a decision, he makes it for Linda. If Linda has to make, she makes it for Raj. Are you with me? And because You are one. You're to leave. You're to leave because I'm gonna tell you that there ain't a house big enough for two families. You let people live with you for a few days, you'll find out. You are to leave, and then you're supposed to cleave. I like that. Leave and cleave, and hold on to her. Now, notice your paper. I said when you get hitched, just like we got that little trailer out there. We got a trailer hitch. I put that on my truck. I hitch up, and you know what? Go down the road. It goes as one vehicle, even though there's two there. They're one together going down the road. You're joined together, like you're welded together. You have one name, Mr. and Mrs. Richard Skyver. That's my wife's name. My wife is me. She's my name. I am Mr. Richard Skyver. She is Mrs. Richard Skyver. Brother Carey, you didn't take your wife's name. She took your name. Everywhere you go, she should go with you, except when you go to work and stuff like that. But too many people, too many guys exclude their wives. When you go out to eat, take her with you. These guys, I'm going to go, honey, you can go and cook. I'm going to go get me a steak. You go out and get a steak, you take her with you, and she has steak too. Amen. You take one of the, I know people do it, and sometimes they don't know, but you're asking for trouble. Don't take separate vacations. You take a vacation, you go with each other. I know people do it, but it's not a good thing. Seriously, it's not a good thing. Go to vacations together. Don't have a boys' night out and a girls' night out. That's what, next thing you know, you're going to have your marriage going to be out. Stay together. Sit together. Do things together. Don't let people separate you. Then page four. Don't let the kids get between you and your wife. By the way, your kids will try to get you to side with them and go against the other parent. Don't take sides for the kids. Stay together as one. And I noted, you ever notice when people are married and people when they're dating? I can tell you, anytime, I guarantee I can, out of 99 out of 100, I can guess it right. You watch a couple that's not married, that's dating, when they pull up in a car, when they drive in a car, they're sitting just like you. But when they married, one sits here, one sits here. Do you ever notice that? And the kids are in between. Before, when you were dating, though, boy, you couldn't get close enough. You were hugging the steering wheel, and you weren't the driver. Why do we, after we get married, why do we come apart? Those same things that you had in the beginning should stay with you all the time. Amen? Don't put the kid in between you. Put the kid in the back seat in the safety seat, but you keep sitting next to your husband. We really got it all wrong. We really do. And note the scripture. And I put in there, we talked about this last week. Don't let the kids come in between you, even at nighttime. Don't let the kids sleep with you. And I know a lot of you, and I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm just trying to help you. When those little kids come in and say, here, I'll lay down with you in your bed, honey. Or I'll turn the light on. I'm afraid, mommy. Well, let me turn the light on, stuff like that. But here's the thing. By them sleeping with you, they're coming between you. Your bedroom should be private. Your bedroom, I'm not trying to be filthy now, I'm just being honest with you, I'm being biblical here. Your bedroom should be special just for you and your wife. When we were raising kids, me and Rosie, Tammy and David Richard never entered our bedroom without knocking and asking for permission to come in. They should just never come in on you. By the way, that's why your wife sometimes, men, are kind of reluctant to really open up to you because they're afraid some kid's going to come into you. Say, oh, wow, what happened, mommy? I didn't know. What's wrong with you and daddy? You ain't got no clothes on. I'm just talking to you, right? I'm not trying to be evil. God knows I'm trying to help your marriage. And you men say, well, boy, she's just a cold turkey. She's just cold. Well, how could you warm up when you're afraid some kid's going to come in on top of you? Hello? That's why when you go in a motel, sometimes she seems more relaxed. Because she ain't worried about some little 5-year-old kid or 7-year-old kid walking in there and, hey, what you doing? Hello? Quiet, isn't it? That's what we need to work on our marriages. Amen? And I'm not trying to be filthy. God knows my heart. I'm trying to be honest and try to help you, give you ideas that would help your marriage be stronger. Notice, men, show affection. Show affection to your wife. Not just at nighttime in bed. Show it all the time during the day. Every day during the week. Men, hug and kiss your wife every opportunity you get. Some of you guys haven't kissed your wife all week. I'd almost be willing to believe that some of you guys right now have not kissed your wife all week. You, they're married. Some of you are smiling. Oh, man, that guy got me. Don't let another day go by. Kiss her. Let her know you love her. Well, I don't know. Hug her. I mean, really hug her. Let her know you care. Tell her you love her. Be kind. Be thoughtful. Tell her she's beautiful in your eyes. Oh, preacher, she don't look like she did when I first married her. Look in the mirror, buckle. You're not what you used to be. Hello? And I'm going to tell you, those girls don't wear as bad as the boys do. The girls got the worst of the deal. Amen? Look at 1 Peter 3:7. Look at 1 Peter 3:7. Well, that's near the back of your Bible. Here it is, 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, by the way, I'm on page 4 of your Bible outline. Likewise, ye husband, dwell with them, talking about your wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Notice what it says, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, being heirs together. In other words, you're one. How many see that in first, by the way? And if you don't, your prayers are hindered. If you are not good to your wife, if you do not do right by your wife, your prayers don't get no higher than that ceiling. God says if you don't treat your wife right, by the way, God says, listen, I looked down and I saw a man shouldn't be alone, so I gave you a helpmate, and the one I gave you, you're mistreating. The one I gave you, you don't appreciate. The one I gave you, you're not taking good care of. The one I gave you, you don't seem to understand the difference between you and her. There's a difference between, for instance, Brother Carey, you and Miss Carey, come over, and we can be watching a war picture or something, and all gooey and people get blown up, you and I'd be laughing, the girls would be crying. Why do the girls cry and the guys laugh? We're different. God made us different. God don't want Miss Carey to pick up 100-pound weights and be a weightlifter. He don't want her to be a, she said, look, come over here, preacher. I can press 300 pounds. I can't press 300 pounds. God never meant for a woman to press 300 pounds. Hello? They're different. You're supposed to be feminine. You're supposed to be 99. Hello, honey. He's Tarzan, you're Jane. When he comes out, oh! Hello. Hello, Jane. Hello, Tarzan. You're my He-Man. We've got it all messed up. We really need to program the home. God never meant for a woman to run a jackhammer. He meant her to run, take care of the children. The day that America went to war, like we had to against the Germans, but the women went to work. And when you put women, when America back in the 40s and the 30s, and when the women left the home and went to the factories, now you can get mad at me all you want, but I'm telling you the truth. When the women left the home went down. Now, I know we live in a day where it costs so much to live. I'm telling you to quit your job. But it's sad. But we're living a day now where the people are just having a hard time just to make it. And that's with two working. But God never meant it to be that. God meant for the woman to be in the home and the man to be the provider. By the way, when the woman was at the home, you had less divorce. And notice, I think they had a statistic. They said that 51% of women were in the workforce. And it's amazing, 51% of women in the workforce. And you know what the divorce rate is? 51%. What if that's kind of connection? I'm going to tell you, the day the lady left the home, it hurt America. And the best scenario, if you can, is to keep the lady at home, if you can. And when you get the ladies out in factories and stuff like that, it just causes a lot of problems. And but I know I'm not telling you to quit your jobs. I know where you're at today. I know where people are at. And but I'm just telling you, God meant for the lady to be at the house and the man to be out working. Amen? And notice it says we're to honor them and as being the weaker vessel, and that your prayers not being. Most guys don't treat their wives right, and that's why their prayers never get answered. Most guys don't even pray. Sad to say, most guys don't even pray, but they ought to. Amen? If we didn't have praying women, we'd be in trouble. I'm just being right where it's at. I'm just a straight-laced guy. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. The reason most men don't pray, and the reason God blesses the home, is because thank God for the women that pray for our homes. Amen? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Yes. Yes, I'm going to be. Yes. Yeah. Right. That. Right. Yeah, it's wrong. Yeah, and it caused problems. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. And that's what I'm very alluding to, too. You cannot put your wife out there in subjection to all these other men. It just makes it too hard on them. And, of course, that man had no business being in your home, for that matter. That guy should have. I won't go in a lady's home if their husband's not there. Unless there's my wife's with me, I would go in there, or another man or something. But how many men like to get home and some man in their home? Hello? Well, preacher, I've got good intentions. Well, good intentions start, but sometimes they get turned around. So what you do is you drop your coat and run. You get away from the problem. Don't be tempted. Hello? We're all adults here. I'm not trying to be evil. I'm telling you the way life is. Are we all with one accord here? Okay. Look at Ephesians 5. And Norma, what you just said has been played over thousands and millions of times in families. Notice, husbands, look at verse 25 of Ephesians 5. Husbands, look what God tells us. Love your wives. Love them. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not even spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy without blemish. Look at verse 8. So, 28, so ought men to love their wives. You know what? It's hard to get their men to really love their wives like they're supposed to. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it, cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, his flesh, his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. And they two shall be what? One flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Marriage is so great, Brother Coolidge, that the closest thing God could come about is the church. Isn't that amazing, Rod? He said, here's how special it is. I mean, he puts the church alongside of the marriage. How many see that? Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular love his wife. How many times has God got to tell us in there, love your wife, love your wife? Verse 25, love your wife. 28, love your wife. 33, love your wife. How many see that? Okay, I hear you, preacher. So even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And so we need to, men, you are the savior of your wife's body. In other words, you're to take care of her, of her body. You're to take care of her. You're to nourish her. You're to watch over her. Christ is the savior of her eternal soul. Are you with me? Now, look at your paper. Men, be willing to help your wife in the home. Learn to change baby diapers. I'm past that. I can really preach to you guys, and I haven't gotten to no more. Right? Learn to change baby diapers. Learn to wash clothes. Learn to cook. Learn to run the sweeper. I even noted, learn to do dishes. 2 Kings 21, only reference about dishes, and it's talking about a man doing it. It says, as a man wipeth the dish. In 2 Kings 21:13, it says, it has a reference, as a man, never talked about a lady wiping a dish. In other words, it's not sissy for a man to help his wife. You're not a sissy if you do the dishes. You're not a sissy if you sweep the floor. You're not a sissy if you wash the clothes or cook. By the way, some of your most, not to be offensive to you ladies, the greatest chefs in the world are usually men. I'm not trying to knock the ladies. Thank God for the lady that cooks every day in her homes. But like some of you men say, oh, I'm not going to cook. Well, you better learn to cook, because there might be a day you might have to. I can make hot dogs. I can make bologna sandwiches. I can cook eggs. I now do oatmeal. Hello? What else can I do? Hamburgers? Amen. I can too, bud. I can too. And chicken noodle and broccoli too. Because Campbell helped me. And Lipton. And but here's the thing. You get home and you see your wife all worn out. The kids have told, listen, I'm glad God made me a man. I couldn't have been a woman. How do you ladies make it? How do you put up with all those kids day and night? Clean all our dirty socks and underwear and make every meal and stay up all night when the kids are sick. And man, I'd be throwing those kids in the garbage and say, get out of here, man. I can't take it no more. Thank God for the ladies. I'm going to tell you, man, we might have the hard physical, but I'm going to tell you, they have a lot of stress that you don't know about. Spend the day with Lukey Ballard. Poor Tammy, she needs to be drugged every day. I'm going to tell you, kids are not easy. Mrs. Knight, you raised a whole bunch of, you raised a whole clan of kids. You know what I'm talking about. You that raised some kids. Listen, kids wear you out. Brother Wade, there's going to be day Chris, you come home and Chrissy's going to be, man, I've had it. Little Wade whipped me, and you know, and you can say, that's right, sit there, honey, I'll take care of it right now. I know you're going to be tired, but sometimes we need to help our wives. And a lot of times guys say, no, I'm not helping her. She can fend for herself. That ain't the right attitude. The attitude is when I thank God for my wife, I'm going to help her because this is what God gave me. Amen? And not to get filthy, but then at nighttime you say, come here, honey bun. Well, honey bun's already been blown out all day. And you've yelled and screamed at her, didn't pick up a lick for her, and you expect her to respond to you, and she's worn out. Huh? If you don't want her worn out at night, you better help her during the day. Hello? You almost got to help guys because they're pretty stupid. You almost got to paint a picture. If you do this, fellas, maybe that will happen for you. Yeah. And what happens, and by the way, the bedrooms, the bedroom's one of the most important factors in your marriage. That's the truth. You keep a man happy in the bedroom, most of your marriage will never have trouble. I'm serious. Stay with me. We're not done. We're going to take care of that bell in a couple weeks. I know what I'm going to do. That bell's going to be eliminated. It's going to be eliminated. We're going to have one bell. When I get done, the bell's going to ring. And so, amen. I put up with that bell. I told David, I said, that's it. That bell's going. I'm going to use it in the school. Who needs a bell? I got a clock right in front of me. I can tell when it's time to quit. And I want to finish this paper. Look at verse 528. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. When your body gets cold, fellas, what do? You warm it. When your body gets hungry, what do? You feed it. When your body gets tired, you rest it. Do the same for your wife. You're one. The Bible says, 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. If you say, man, I'm hungry for a big T-bone steak, so is she. Honey, you stay here and make hamburgers for the kids. I'm going out and have a big steak down there at the steakhouse. I'll tell you, I'll bring you back a little bit of it. Hogwash. If you ain't got enough to buy for two of them, don't you go at all. Quiet in here, isn't it? When you are physically, you are one with her, just like you're spiritually one with Christ. Look at the bottom of your paper. They're having their day now, but I'm going to have it later. I'm going to have the last word. We're not closing yet. Hold on. You're going to get this last verse. Why didn't Satan, look at Job chapter 1. We're going to close. Job chapter 1. If you can find Psalms, Job is right in front of Psalms. I want to give you this last truth, and we're going to close. And next week, I got a whole new thing for you. Look at Job chapter 1. Look at verse 8 through 12. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth. A perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Satan answered, Lord, doth Job fear God for naught? Hath not thou made a hedge about him, and about a house, and about all that he hath on every side, and hath blessed and worked his hands and substance and increase of land? Put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Satan says to the Lord, yeah, he's good because you watch over him and you don't let nothing happen. Let some bad things happen to him and see what happens if he still praises you. And then verse 12, the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. In other words, you could go do everything you can. You can do all you want against his family. But look at what it says. Put not forth thine hand against him. How many see that? Now watch, and I'm all done. You know the story. There was a day when when all his children, all 10 children were killed. He lost his wealth. He lost his possessions. He lost everything. Satan killed all his children. Why didn't he kill Mrs. Job? Because he said, only don't touch Job. God said, you can destroy everything about Job, but you can't destroy Job. Because Satan knows. God says that man and his wife are one. He could destroy Mrs. Job because Mrs. Job is part of Mr. Job. How many see this biblical truth? The reason he didn't kill Mrs. Job, he could, because God said, you can't. See, Bobby, you and Jamie are one. If I kill Jamie, I kill part of you. How many understand that? Look how strong the marriage bond is. Satan destroyed everything he could, but he didn't touch Mrs. Job because Mrs. Job was part of Mr. Job. They were one. And what I want you to see is this. You and your wife are one. You take care of that wife that God gave you because you and her are one. And God says she's priceless to you. Amen? Next week, I'm going to give you a brand new lesson. And fellas, ladies, come next week. Ladies, you are going to love next week. Ladies, I'm promising you. I'm telling you, ladies, I'm just going to tell you something. Ladies, you don't want to miss next week because you are going to be saying to your husband, Let's have a moment of prayer, Brother Kerry. Perry, lead us in prayer, then we'll collect the slips. Yes. Amen. Next week we're going to be getting about kissing in there too.